Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And today's a big one, Shane. Cousin Shane, the big Tennessee homer. He goes by Big Orange Vols on the Twitter machine. We are doing the Missouri Fall Camp Preview, brother.
Oh, buddy, they better be buckled in. M-I-Z!
And remember, I'm sure they all remember, but we like to remind folks.
Yes.
Because there's not a lot that we get right. But this was the infamous episode last year where Shane said, he went so far, I don't even know if he remembers this. He remembers saying 10 wins, which is what they did. But he originally said 11 wins, and he went so far above his skis, he pulled it back to 10. Well, hell, they ended up winning 11 games, Shade. But literally, you were on an island. No one else had. Mizzou winning 10 games, except for you. So, man, I can't wait to see where you got them this year, because I don't want to spoil anything, but I think they could do even better this fall.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And you know, going back to last year, there was just so many pieces. Like, you, it's like you had all the ingredients to make a sweet cake, you know? It's like, why can't I just make it? And then all of a sudden, we just needed the quarterback to hit. I'm just going to be honest with you. It came down to Brady Cook cooking. And as soon as that started happening, all the other pieces fell in place. And, brother, Mizzou never looked back.
Yep. All right, Shane. So, what, again, it was such a great season. Let's recap it real quick here. Went 11-2 last fall. Beat Ohio State. Mighty Ohio State. You can't beat Ohio State. Ohio State didn't even put up a damn fight in the Cotton Bowl. Lost 14-3 after a slow start for Mizzou. They finished strong there, but only two losses last year. Lost to the eventual Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, in a back-and-forth affair. And lost at Georgia, a game that literally anybody in the country, including the cheating national champion Michigan, had they had to go down to Athens, they would have got their ass handed to them too. So those are our only two losses for Missouri last year. And man, this is it. There's not often you can say, Shane, we're like, preach patience, give a coach time. But I think Missouri right now is the example for anybody in the country that's sitting here saying, boy, we better fire our coach and move on to someone else. Maybe that's not always the best move, because Drink and Mizzou just proved, you know, give it a little time. Like you said, put that cake together, and it came out pretty good for the Tigers.
That's right, man. That's right. And I think, like you said, you're setting an example for the rest of the league, the rest of the country, because everybody is ready for that get-rich-quick scheme. You know what I'm saying? The eight-minute abs, they ain't working for me, Mike. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, I'm back to my old self. But here's the thing with Mizzou and Drink. We were both kind of, I would say, on a hot seat, but we were on a heated seat coming into last year. And we kept waiting. Is this the year? Is this the year? You're starting to see some of these other coaches around the country do the similar thing. But now you can look back and say, hey, look, they gave them time in Mizzou, and look what they've created. So sometimes I think it's a good thing. I know we all want to be great, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, you know, after we fire a coach. But you can see sometimes some programs need to marinate a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, credit to Eli Drinkwitz. He's out there playing guitar. He's having the time of his life, Shade. Yeah. He's 40-22 in 5 years as a head coach. He was 12-2 at App State the 1 year. Came into Mizzou, went 5-5. That was the COVID year, though, so that's kind of – you can't really hold that one against him. Year two and year three, 6-7 each of those years. That's when, you know, some fans – If they're being honest, we'll say, well, we didn't know if he was the guy. Well, after an 11-2 season, you sure as hell know that Eli is the man for the job. But mostly a bunch of staff continuity on Missouri's coaching staff. Shane, they did lose defensive coordinator. They're bringing in Corey Batune. He was the South Alabama defensive coordinator the last 3 years. Before that, he coached safeties under Hugh Freeze at Liberty. He's been the defensive coordinator at Hawaii and FAU, and he was previously in the SEC, again, at Ole Miss under Hugh Freeze. So he's got the SEC background. The one thing I would hold, and I'm not even saying it's holding against him, but it's kind of wait and see. Cain Womack was the head coach. He's a defensive guy. He's now the defensive coordinator at Alabama. So I think it's fair to say, was this Cain Womack's defense? Was this Corey Batoon's defense? I don't know. I think this year would tell us. And they also have a new defensive line coach, Shane, in Brian Early. He was Houston's defensive line coach the last 4 years, and then the 4 years before that at Arkansas State. He's coached several draft picks, including a first-rounder during his tenure. So I think they got us some good defensive coaches here.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously it was a little bit of a – I mean, that was the thing. After last season, the coordinators, are they for sale? You know, and LSU, I feel like, stole a good one. But you got to remember, this is a guy that didn't have a lot of options or a lot of opportunities, but Eli saw something in him. I think that's the big piece here, Mike, is, you know, when you're talking about successful programs that stay there, sustain it, it's not just about getting a good class in, good players in, but it's also identifying young talent, maybe unproven talent in the coaching world. And, you know, he flips the bill for what could be a good defensive coordinator.
Right. And let me ask you that. I usually don't ask these types of questions, but this is too good to stay away from, Shay, because you're seeing, if you're not a Missouri fan, you hate Drink, what a dork, one-year wonder, yada, yada, yada. If Mizzou does it again, mm-hmm. I don't know what the win total would be, 10, 11, what have you, and they make the college football playoff, would you rank Drink, if he does it 2 years in a row, as a top five coach in the SEC?
Ooh, buddy, top five. I'm going through them right now.
I think you'd almost have to.
Yeah,
I mean,
think
you got Kirby up there, and then there's a big gap. You know, Brian Kelly maybe.
Yeah.
Certainly Brian Kelly, I'd put him in the top five.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, we'll see what Ole Miss does this year, but yeah, I would put Kiffin up there as well.
Yeah, I like Heupel. What he's done real quick with Tennessee, even though I'm a homer, but
stand on business.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? He should be in the top five. No wonder he's playing the guitar and having a good damn time. You know.
I'm just having some fun with you, but all right, Shane. Let's get into returning production. It is great news. Last year it was the defense. This is where Shane said, "This is my team right here." All this production. Well, now this year it's the offense, Shane.
Yeah.
66% of the offense is back as number three in the SEC. 100%, only team in the SEC, bring back 100% of the passing yards, led, of course, by your man Brady. Let him cook down there. He's got over 6,000 passing yards, 38 passing touchdowns, nearly 1,000 rushing yards. I think that's something that gets lost when it comes to Brady Cook. People don't realize how good of a runner he is, a threat there. 15 touchdowns just on the ground, Shane, for Brady Cook. So good, in fact, he's the leading returning rusher, which, good news, bad news, because you lost Cody Schrader. We're 15th in the SEC in returning rushing production, just 15%, and it's nearly all from Brady Cook. Of course, we addressed that in the transfer portal. We'll get to that in a minute. Receiving yards, though, again, we shine this offseason at Mizzou, 92%. That's number two in the entire SEC, led by my man, Luther Burden, who got his chips right up here for a reason. Over 1,200 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. And then on the offensive
and
line.
And I don't for a reason, by the way, because they're delicious. They lasted about a week in this residence.
Offensive line snaps back 58%. Shane, that's ninth in the SEC. But we bring back starting center, starting right guard, starting right tackle, and we raided the portal to hopefully fill in the other two spots. So absolutely loaded on the offensive side of the football. And it's I know there's several schools that are going to claim this, Shane, but for my money, give me Mizzou as the best offense in the SEC.
Oh, Mike. Oh, buddy. There's some good teams in the country, but I would definitely have Mizzou in that top three discussion. Especially on the offensive side of the ball, because of returning production. And you're not just bringing dudes back. You know, a lot of people can look at those numbers and say, look at the talent we're bringing back. No, buddy, these are game changers. These are players that will be on Sunday sooner than later, you know, potential Hall of Famers, man. I think Luther, maybe even Theo's got an opportunity to make some real noise in the NFL. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Well, they call me Mizzou Mike for a reason, Shade. So, again, that's the great news. Now, the so-so news, the defense. Again, we're not in shambles. I think that's overstated, but only 44% of the returning production on the defensive side of the ball is back. That's 10th in the SEC, Shane. Tackles, number 9 in the SEC, 54% back. We've lost half of our top 16 tacklers. So there is a lot to replace. Tackles for loss, 52% back, 9th in the SEC. Sacks, just 39% of the sacks back. That's 14th in the SEC. But interceptions and passes defended, we are 11th in returning production in the SEC. So some ground to make up, certainly, on the defensive side of the ball. It gets more complicated when you're having to replace a defensive coordinator and another position coach as well. But, again, we've got some guys back, and we absolutely have hit the transfer portal to shore up all of our deficiencies. It's just a matter of putting them all together.
Yeah.
And again, if Mizzou's offense is as good as I think they can be, it's not like we need the steel curtain here to win a bunch of games.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get to Mizzou's schedule here in a little bit, and that's one of the things I like about it is because of these kind of moving pieces we have on that side of the ball, we do have a little wiggle room. We do have a little time to get that unit together, and I think that they're going to hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, so as for the transfer portal, and my goodness, Shane, was Mizzou active? But before we get to their additions real quick, just hit on the guys that left. I don't think there's going to be much impact or loss, so to speak, of the guys we lost. I'm just going to highlight a couple. DJ Wesolak, defensive lineman, he went on to Oregon State. Defensive lineman Sergei Tarakara, he went to Cal. Again, when you go to West Coast,
yeah,
I'm saying you wouldn't have made much of an impact in the SEC.
When your name's that difficult to pronounce, you don't need to be over here anyway.
And two quarterbacks, Jabari Johnson, he also went to Oregon State, and Jake Garcia, who briefly came in. Now he's at East Carolina. But, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to those guys, but when you're going to Oregon State, Cal, ECU, I'm not sure you would have made much of an impact on this team this year.
Yeah, those are boys looking for playing time, Mike.
Right, exactly. So as for the guys we're bringing in, Shane, again, here, buckle up, buddy, because and it's also interesting, we got the on three, as rated this as the 8th transfer portal class in the country, not the SEC, in the country, Shane, whereas 24/7 Sports got it as the 14th best transfer class. It's just interesting to me how they're kind of so different on these classes.
How they hate each other. It's like Oklahoma and Mizzou, isn't it?
But leading the way with guys we're bringing in, Shane, Caden Green from Oklahoma. We coined the phrase Broklahoma because all the comments as soon as Caden Green came back home to Mizzou, played in 11 games last year at Oklahoma with 5 starts. Now, again, 15% only rushing production. Again, that's 15th in the SEC. But why very few are panicking is because of these two guys here, Shane. Two running backs. Marcus Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Georgia State last year. 1,350 rushing yards. 13 touchdowns. He was all conference, all first team, all Sun Belt last year. And then Nate Noel, who played at App State. He's got that drink connection. Over 3,000 rushing yards in his App State career, 18 touchdowns. So, again, I'm not saying these guys are Cody Schrader. I think that's disrespectful to maybe the best running back in the nation last year. But I think with these two guys combined, we can have us a solid running back duo.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. A lot of no names, but so was Cody coming in the last season.
Right. And then another offensive lineman, I project him to start as well, Shane. Marcus Bryant was at SMU. He was first team all AAC at left tackle last season, so a very quality piece. I know they're fired up down there in Columbia to get corner Toriano Pride from Clemson. He played 26 games for the Tigers, 9 pass breakups, 26 tackles. Chris McClellan, former Florida defensive lineman, he transferred up. He's got 46 tackles in his career, 3.5 tackles for loss. And now we added a duo of very accomplished linebackers, Shane. Corey Flagg from Miami, 179 career tackles, 23.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, one pick in 43 games at Miami. And this ain't Miami, Ohio, Shane. This is a real Miami down there. linebacker Khalil Jacobs, he played at South Alabama under our defensive coordinator. Yep. So I think that's why that'll be key. He had 56 tackles last year, 8.5 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, and a pick. So we're adding some pieces here that I think will really help. And that's before we get to we also added a quarterback, Shane, because I think it was important to add someone. Sam Horn, unfortunately, got hurt playing baseball. I don't think he's going to be participating this football season. That's the latest I've heard. And we've had the two guys transfer out, so we needed some depth. They've added Drew Pine. He was at Arizona State last year. Mm-hmm. He was at Notre Dame before that. Guy just loves to travel, apparently. But he's got over 2,500 passing yards, 26 touchdowns in 11 starts. And he actually is 4-1 as a starting quarterback against top 25 teams.
No.
So if you know, hope and pray nothing happens to Brady Cook. But if it does, I feel like we got someone that can step in for a game or a quarter or what have you, that the entire offense won't come apart. You know what?
In big games, you know what I'm saying? It's you talk about Notre Dame and, it wasn't like a SMU or something like that. These are credible starts. And, you can't replace a little experience back there.
And then another guy, I don't know how big of an impact he'll make this year, Shane. He's a true freshman, Jeremiah Beasley. He went to Michigan, mm-hmm. enrolled. Then Harbaugh left. He said, to hell with that. I'm going to Mizzou. So he's the number 14 linebacker prospect in the country, though. So technically he's a transfer. And then last but not least, some depth on the defensive line here, Shane. Eddie Kelly from Georgia Tech, 38 tackles last year, 5 tackles for loss. Zion Young from Michigan State, he had 26 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss last season. And Sterling Webb from New Mexico State led New Mexico State with 4.5 sacks. So add all those pieces on a defensive line. I don't know if any of those guys will start, but some much-needed depth. You can never have enough defensive linemen in the SEC.
No, get all the big boys you can. I'm surprised I didn't get a call, Mike. You know, I got a few years eligibility. You know,
and then real quick, not a ton of impact, I don't think, from the recruiting class. Number 21 overall recruiting class in the country. Number 12 class in the SEC. Other than perhaps Williams and Awari, the number one edge defender in the country. He'll see the field, no doubt. But signed 7 4-stars. But I think at running back, Kawan Lacy, number 15 running back, we could see him. Courtney Crunchfield was the number 18 receiver. Again, we're so loaded at receiver, I think it's unfair to expect much from him. And then junior college offensive lineman Javion Richardson, the number 2 JUCO offensive tackle. So he could see some run this year, but I think given the fact that we've added so many transfers, probably not looking for a lot of freshmen outside of Williams and Awori to make much of an impact this fall for Missouri.
No. Warm bodies building up, though. That's one thing I keep saying on these shows. You're going to start seeing some of those names hitting week 8, week 9 when you may need somebody to step in for a series or two. But I go back to the transfer, you know, the fact that you're number 7 in the country. You know, 4 years ago, I would have called you nuts if you told me Mizzou would be 4th in the transfer portal or 7th in the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying? So that I think that speaks volumes to how far this program's come along.
And again, credit, the coaching staff, the administration for just identifying new ways to build a team.
Yeah.
Taking advantage. You know, we lose a star running back. Let's add 2 great quality guys and so on. I mean, this is the future of college football. And Dabo, he ain't doing it. Well, there's a reason Clemson's in shambles and Mizzou's rising to the college football playoff. You know what?
Isn't it kind of like buying Bitcoin early? It's like, when I first heard Bitcoin, I was like, what the hell is that? You know? And then everybody got in on it, you know? So that's kind of like Mizzou. It's like, what about Mizzou? And they're like, well, who the hell's that? You know? And then now they're expanding the stadium and everything like that. So, yeah, it's a hot commodity right now.
All right, Shane. So moving on to ranking the offensive positions. You already know where I'm going. You already alluded to it. But we got to start with the receivers.
Yeah.
Luther Burden, Theo Weiss, Mookie Cooper, all starters back. Wildly effective players here. And we got some quality backups, too. And Marquise Johnson was a star freshman last year. Mekhi Miller made a big impact on the team. And then I mentioned Courtney Crunchfield, the freshman, and then two other players that they didn't play much, but Joshua Manning and Daniel Blood, they're back. So we are absolutely loaded at the receiver position for Missouri. This is the best unit probably on the entire team.
Absolutely. Deep and talented. Deep and talented. There's teams out there that got talent, but they don't have depth. This is a team that has both, especially in that wide receiver room is absolutely loaded. I mean, a guy like Mook, you could take him to 8-9 different SEC schools, and he's part of this preview that we talk about. Like, he's the first one we're leading off with. He's number three right now.
Right. Now, this may you may not agree, Shane. I'm kind of curious here, but I went quarterbacks number two. And it's not a reflection at all on Brady Cook, because I think he's awesome. He may be the best quarterback in the SEC. But with Sam Horn down and then the transfer Drew Pine, they also added another transfer, Harold Blood, but I would be surprised if he sees the field. But I'm putting them number two, not because I think because the receivers are so good, but the depth there is a little missing for me. But if we had Sam Horn back, and I knew he was fully healthy, I'd put them in conversation for first overall.
I'd agree with you, Mike. And even if he was healthy, I'd still have a tough time putting him in number one with that receiver room.
All right, so number three, I went offensive line. Again, we got three starters back. Connor Tolleson, Cameron Johnson, Armon Membu. All these guys, Shane, played at least 869 snaps or more last season. So extremely talented. We got Drake Hosmeyer back. He's played in 38 games. Mitchell Walters, he's played in 30 games. And then the two big transfers, Caden Green, Marcus Bryant, where do they fit in? And then Javon Richardson, the number two junior college offensive tackle. Throw these guys together. I almost put the offensive line ahead of quarterbacks, but I think Brady Cook's so good I couldn't do it. But this could be a very, very good offensive line for the second year in a row.
Oh, I could see that argument. I really could. I mean, because again, depth. It's not just a couple of dudes. This is a deep roster here. So yeah, I could see maybe even a 2A, 2B situation.
Now here's one problem, and I'll touch on this a little bit later. Again, this is a good problem to have, right? But we're searching for a left tackle. We're searching for a left guard. We bring in Caden Green from Oklahoma. And allegedly, again, who knows if this is even true, but allegedly he came up to Missouri to play left tackle. It's the money position. We all know it.
Mm-hmm.
But they added Marcus Bryant from SMU, who was first team all conference. He started like the last 3 years at left tackle, and he's a really good left tackle. So that's holding me back a little too, just because I want to see how that plays out. Who's going to play guard? Who's going to play tackle? I think that's – again, I'm kind of cutting ahead here, but I think that may be the biggest storyline of camp.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. But it's competition too, you know.
And, right.
And there's that competitive front. When you come in, I mean, Green, say what you want. I mean, everybody knows him. He was a hot topic in the offseason. So, you know, coming in and having a little competition right out of the gate, I think is very important. It's going to make that unit better. So, I embrace it, but it needs to be tidied up pretty quick in camp, man.
Right. That's the thing. I don't think you want that going into the season. Although we'll get to the schedule. Maybe you can let that run for a couple weeks. But again, I got running backs next. Shane, again, Marcus Carroll from Georgia State, Nate Noel, App State. Not much behind them though. Yeah. That's a little scary. But we do have the freshman Kywin Lacy, number 15 running back prospect in the country. Having him third string, maybe fourth string, we'll see. But this is a little thin for my liking.
Thin, but not alarming. If you're thin at anything, this is the best place to be thin, because when you got all that talent around you, you're going to make these guys better. Which I love Cody, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but one of the reasons that Cody was so successful was that offensive line, was his quarterback, was the receivers, not having a loaded box, you know. So now, obviously, he's a star, and I wish him well in the NFL. I don't think being a little thin at running back with Mizzou is going to hurt as bad as maybe other programs.
And who knows, Shane, worst case scenario, you need a running back. I bet Luther could play that too, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
So, a classic theme here. Last, but certainly not least, because I like this trio here. Tight end, Brett Nordfleet. He was all SEC freshman team last year. 18 catches, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Stevens, 10 catches, 100 yards, a touchdown. And Jordan Harris, who played 12 games last year as a true freshman. I like our tight ends here at Mizzou.
Yeah, not good enough to be four, though, for some reason. Got two running backs and still can't get a tight ends over them. All right.
All right, how about – now this was difficult, Shay. Defense, because I'm splitting hairs here. I went with the linebackers. First, best unit here, Mizzou. Chuck Hicks is back, 53 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, forced fumble. He started 9 games last year. Mm-hmm. Tristan Newsome, he's back. He didn't start. Well, he had 3 starts, but 51 tackles, 7 tackles for loss in 3 games. But then we're adding in the transfers. Corey Flagg from Miami, 179 career tackles, 23.5 tackles for loss. And Khalil Jacobs from South Alabama, 56 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles. Good unit. Again, I'd like a little bit more depth, but
a lot of experience.
A lot of experience, and the way we're playing college football these days, it's you're putting as many defensive backs on the field as you can. So I just don't think – I think gone are the days where our third string is experienced in college football.
Do you remember that, though, back in the day? I mean, linebacker was the thing. And I'm not saying there's not some dudes, but growing up, you know, I was a huge Steeler fan. LaVon Kirkland, you know, right. Kevin Green, you know, it was always linebackers. And then all of a sudden it's kind of shifted. And everybody wants to be a DB now because they're little fast guys, you know, but whatever.
Well, I remember, again, this is going back, Shane, but when I first started watching college football, my dad took me to a Tennessee game.
Yeah.
And I think it was, do you remember who was it that came before Al Wilson? Was it like Raynock Thompson or something like that?
But Leonard Little?
Maybe it was one or the other, but I think it was Little who was like all SEC. And I just remember my dad, you know, we were watching a game. My dad said, you know, they say the guy behind him's even better. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? This guy's going to be first round pick, yada, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, Al Wilson, maybe the greatest SEC linebacker ever. I mean, you used to be able to hide guys like that in college football. Absolutely. But now, as soon as the word gets out, if you ain't playing, you're leaving, you're going somewhere else. It's a wild, wild times. You know what?
Oh, yeah, man. Mizzou fans know Leonard Little. I guarantee you that. But yep. That's what it was. Growing up, you always had a guy right behind. And again, it kind of goes under the radar until you don't have a leader. Usually it's a leader in that pack. You know, they're the ones that's getting the defensive line position. They're the ones that will probably have, you know, the headpiece on, talking to the defensive coordinator, trying to get the play out there. So I like to have somebody that's got a little experience behind there because they are the quarterback on the field.
Right. Now, how about the defensive line? That's who I got next for Mizzou, Shane. Johnny Walker, he's one of the most underrated players in the entire SEC. 43 sacks. That'd be amazing. 43 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks in 12 starts last year. And Christian Williams, another starter's back, 52 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 22 career starts. And then they loaded up, again, with transfers, Shane. Zion Young from Michigan State, 26 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and a sack and a half. Chris McKellen from Florida, he was an impact player, 46 tackles. Eddie Kelly from Georgia Tech, 38 tackles. Darius Smith from Georgia, he only had 6 tackles, but barely played. He played 16 games there, but was a reserve. And then Sterling Webb, 30 tackles at New Mexico State. And incoming the freshman, Williams and Wari. So I like the collection. I like the depth. I don't know, outside of Johnny Walker or Christian Williams, if we have any true stars. And I'm talking just this year because Williams and Wari, he'll be a star in the making. Right. But I like the depth of this group. I'll just say that.
A lot of bodies, Mike. This is kind of like the opposite of linebackers here. So a lot of bodies, right. Not as much experience, but again, you're gonna have at least opportunities for rotation, which makes any defensive line better.
Mm-hmm. And then we did lose a couple defensive backs, Shane, to the NFL. Maybe that's why I've got the defensive backs last.
One second, man. Uh-huh. So to go back on the defensive line rotation. So we started this when I was in high school. They're like, hey, we need to start rotating. And the coach is like, all right, every two plays, you're going in, all right? So two plays happens, and then I run to the sideline. Well, I mean, sideline's 25, 30 yards, you know? So every two plays, I'm doing 50 yards. By the time I get in there to do my two damn plays, I'm exhausted. I'm like, Coach, can we go at least four downs, you know? So, sorry, man. I thought about that rotation, man. I was doing gashers out there, man.
So we lost a pair of defensive backs to the NFL, Shay. So I think that's where a lot of these questions come about Missouri's defensive backs, because, you know, we lost the two stars. They're now playing on Sundays. But I think it might be a little overrated, the questions about them, because I love Dalen Carnell and Joseph Charleston, both back as starters. Mm-hmm. Charleston's got 25 starts. Carnell's got 14. Very good players here. We're bringing back Drayden Norwood, who he's got 5 starts in his career for Mizzou. Marvin Brooks, he's our leading returning interceptor, I believe. He had 22 tackles. Marcus Clark, 12 tackles, 2 picks in 9 games. Sidney Williams, 25 tackles, 2 sacks. The Clemson transfer, Toriano Pride. And then 3 4-star freshmen inserted into the lineup as well, Shane. Trajan Greco, number 14 corner. Jaron Sensabaugh, number 22 corner. And Cameron Keys, the number 29 corner in the country. So it's uncertain how all these pieces are going to fit together, who's going to start, who's going to be backups and all that, but give me this collection of talent. I think you can win a lot of games with them.
Well, you know, let me ask you on that note, because, you know, you had Steve on a couple of days ago, and that's what he talked about, was his concern was his secondary. Are you concerned at all, or are you just maybe just not as confident as you were in the squad last year?
No, I mean, I think it's fair to be concerned, because like I said, Shane, you got two corners, maybe the best duo outside of Alabama in the SEC last year. That makes it easier for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you got two great corners, Carnell and Charleston can make plays back here, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you don't have those lockdown corners and you just got to start shading more to coverage? You can't man up. You can't play coverage. You struggle in zone. I mean, again, I'm not saying all these things are going to happen, but I don't know that Missouri's in a position today where you just replace two draft picks at the corner position and there's no drop-off. I mean, that just seems highly unrealistic to me. Again, I just listed a bunch of guys that have played that have done well, a bunch of a transfer and some star freshmen. But to ask those guys to come together and be NFL draft picks –
right.
I think that's a fair thing to question.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a good point, Mac. Good point.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, all damn. Right. Damn, you had that one keyed up.
Now, again, real quick, kicker, Shay, kicker and putter. The thicker kicker is all to the NFL. It sounds like he's kicking ass down there at Carolina. I think he's going to be their starting kicker. But who we got replacing him is Blake Craig. He was the number 2 kicker prospect in the country 2 years ago. He was on the team last year, so not totally new to college football, but all he did was kickoffs because we had the thicker kicker. So he's relatively inexperienced, but comes with you know some promise. And then punter, we added a transfer, Shane. I'm going to throw this guy's photo up here because you're going to love this. Murray State transfer, Orion Phillips. He's from Australia. He's got a mullet that would make Joe Dirt blush. I mean, this thing is spectacular, Shane. He was all Ohio Valley Conference honorable mention last year and a semifinalist for the FCS Putter of the Year. Bring that thing to the SEC, Orion. We're happy to have you.
He's going
to
fit right in, ain't he, Mike?
All right, so, hey, here's my projection, Shane, for the highest-rated top 10 players in the EA Sports video game from the Missouri Tigers, and you already know where I'm going with the number 1 overall.
Oh, Luther.
Yeah, give me probably at lowest 98, maybe even a 99. I'll give him a 99 just for this preview here. 99 for Luther. Give me Brady Cook. I'll probably put him at probably like a 98, 97. He's an elite quarterback, of course. Theo Weiss, another receiver. Give me about a 95 for him. Johnny Walker, the defensive end, very high on him. Give me a 94 on him. Connor Tolleson, the center, how about a 92? That's about where I'm thinking. Dalen Carnell, the corner, Nickelback, give me 92. Come on, I'll hand it out 90s to everybody. Cameron Johnson, the guard, give me a 90 for him. Caden Green, we'll see where he plays, but give me a 90 on him as well. Marcus Bryant, the other transfer offensive lineman, give me an 89. And then Brett Nortfleet, the tight end, give me an 87 for Brett Nortfleet. Nice. So some very talented players in a lot. Of, you know, I did this for a reason, but we got quarterback, receivers, and tight end. I mean, I'm trying to warn the rest of the SEC, Shane. This is going to be a hellacious offense here.
And a fun one, man. You talk about that NCAA. I get fired up when you talk about this team because this may be one you want to do a dynasty with. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Or at least online, head-to-head. This is at least an electrifying offense.
Right. All right, so biggest camp questions. Again, I already kind of hit on this. Who's going to play left guard? Mm-hmm. Who's going to play left tackle? I think that'll be a big one that we got to get resolved here. Identifying roles for a lot of the new faces on the defense, I think that'll be paramount. And, you know, sorting out the roles for running backs, too, I think will be, you know, see who starts. Because will it be Carroll? Will it be Noel? I mean, that's got to be sorted out as well. And not that that's a big deal, because I think they'll probably go 50-50 anyway with the mm-hmm. carries. But everybody likes to start, Shane. We all know that. But I think the biggest thing, and we are as guilty as anybody, Shane, is blowing smoke for Mizzou. How do they handle all these expectations?
Yeah.
Because this is not something they're used to, aside from Cousin Shane last year pumping them up. But this is the first time where they ain't sneaking up on everybody.
Yeah.
And every time they face someone, they're going to be, this team won 11 games last year. We have to take them seriously. They're not sneaking up on anybody. Mm-mm. How do they handle expectations? People can say they'll be fine, but until they actually do it, I think that's a real question.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's what you got to, I mean, coaches, I mean, they don't need any more motivation, obviously. Drink is one of the best in the biz. But, you know, they're not handing out trophies for 11-win seasons. They're handing out trophies for SEC championships. They're handing out trophies for national championships. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we're at. But to get to that point, you cannot take your foot off the gas. The Nick Saban, the great Nick Saban, I remember him telling I think it was Charles Barkley, you know. He was talking about what does it take to stay on top? Well, he goes, because you never reach the peak. You are always climbing. And I think that's important because if you take your foot off the gas here in the offseason, by God, you're going to get knocked in the teeth. And it's going to cost you an opportunity to play in the next, you know, the next level. So, right. Yeah, that is the big camp question for me, brother, is this – you know, just owning it, having some dudes come in there, motivate their players, motivate their brothers, and just get them going.
Yep. All right, Shane, let's get into the schedule analysis. And like we love to do here, the way we break it down, win, loss, or toss before we make our predictions. And, buddy, I'm seeing a lot of should-be wins. Let me do mine first, and we'll see if you agree with me. But I basically, first month of the season, Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt. These are all at home. No excuse to lose any of them.
Nope.
At UMass, I don't understand why in the hell we're playing at UMass, but we are. Auburn at home, at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and Arkansas to close out the regular season at home. I've got 9 games, Shane, out of freaking 12, damn, that Mizzou, as today, as I look at this, games that should be wins. Would you disagree with any of those? Would you add any to those?
I would not disagree with that, Mike. Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't care. I don't care if Boston College got in the last time, you know? That doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into but this is one of the reasons why we are even higher on Mizzou coming into this season is this schedule. It's going to keep coming up, Mike. And, yes, there's a lot of games they must win. Not should wins, must wins. Because if they drop one of those that you just mentioned, then all of that college football playoff dreams, I think, would go right out the window.
Now, do you see a game on here that it is a likely loss? Because I certainly think one we could argue it.
No.
But I'm kind of curious if you'd say it or not.
No. Mizzou's a top 5 team, brother, and I don't see another top 5 team on this schedule.
Well, it's a good thing. I got three toss-ups on here, Shane, at A&M, at Bama, and Oklahoma at home. So that's where we're at with that. So let's get into it. A game-by-game prediction.
Yeah.
Again, and we do these. We've got to say it. We got to reiterate it every time. Nobody ever catches it. Nobody ever pays attention to this part. But we're saying, as Mizzou, most optimistic predictions here. We're Mizzou fans. As we're breaking this down, we got our black and gold glasses on. Hell, I'm drinking out of my black and gold cup, Jade, as we do this. But, I mean, we have to go win, win, win right out the gate, 4-0. If we're not 4-0, I'd be totally stunned.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking wins, Mike. I'm talking absolute destroy these first four teams. You know, right. they should be able to get some things right. We talked about earlier getting that offensive line gelled, getting those defensive backs, identifying those cornerbacks. That needs to be settled. Your defensive front rotation, that needs to be settled. After Vanderbilt, there's no reason that we should have been pressured or close to in any of these football games.
Right. And then the only one you could, I think, even debate really is Boston College. But then you realize, hell, their coach left in the basically the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He's in the NFL. They hired a new coach. Again, it's just it does not set up well at all for any of these teams to threaten Mizzou.
No, he got to looking at the schedule, and he saw September 14th, and he didn't want no part of it, Mike.
All right, how about now? This will be critical. And, you know, we got 2 weeks to prepare, so that'll be big. But our first true test of the season at A&M. Again, I'm higher on A&M seemingly than just about anybody. Mm-hmm. But as we sit here today, Mizzou colored glasses on, I think that's a game. I do have it listed as a toss-up. But what I know about A&M, what I know about Mizzou, I have to say Mizzou's going to win that football game.
No, I thought you never know, Mike. Sometimes you lean in, but they're not going to. But, okay, I got you. I think if you were to get them or play them, this is when you want it. The 1st of October. I don't want to catch them at the tail end of the season because they may have figured it out. I still think that they will be working for their identity. But by that game, Mizzou's going to be humming, and this thing is going to be over by the third quarter.
Now, if you told me, though, Shane, again, we're doing Mizzou preview. I get it. But if you told me Connor Wigman's healthy, he's fully figured out, you know, the new offense under Colin Klein. We got the offensive line going. We got a three-headed running back, the three-headed monster at running back, like mm-hmm. some are saying, and Elko's fixed the defense, then I would believe Texas A&M wins this game.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of ifs, this, if that. I mean, A&M, they open. I'll throw up their schedule real quick, but they open Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't really have much respect for Notre Dame. But they're apparently going to be preseason top 10. Watch out, Notre Dame. The preseason top 10, A&M also has to go to Florida, which, again, I'm very high on Florida. They get Arkansas the week prior. I mean, they're going to be battle-tested, but they could be banged up, too. And they very well could have two losses mm-hmm. by this point in time. So, again, if that's what happens, you know, the more I talk about it, the more I'm saying Mizzou's going to win this damn game. Come on now. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, we could paint pretty narratives here, Mike. But right now, you know, there's a reason A&M had to get a new coach, and that's because they've not been able to put it together. So just to think that, hey, after Notre Dame and Florida and, Arkansas, I mean, they've had a tough schedule. Mizzou hasn't played anybody, really, up to this point, you know, and probably rested half the players, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully that none of them will be banged up and be ready to rock and roll by that game. So, you know, the big one for me is Cook. What makes him so good is extending plays, getting out of the pocket, finding that first down marker. You know, he shouldn't have to do that the first 4 weeks of the year, you know? So it's going to be tough to kind of plan for that. But when A&M comes into town, if he needs to, that's what's going to be the difference maker for me. And, I just don't think they slow down here. So they're starting out 5-0.
Right. And then we got this weird trip to UMass. Again, mm-hmm. maybe they've got some – maybe Drink's got like a – cousin up there or uncle or something. Maybe that's why they're doing it, just to say hello and all this. But UMass, one of the worst teams in the country. That's a pick your score type game. Yep. We're gonna be rolling to 6-0, right?
6-0, absolutely.
Now, am I wrong at all? Am I being completely dismissive of Auburn? Because I just think what I know about Mizzou. Again, I don't want to jinx anything, but I don't even see this as like a threat to beat Missouri in Columbia. Am I completely off base here?
Well, I mean, you always worry about a trap game. I think about some of the games played last year where Mizzou did really well and then they didn't. You know, I'm talking about the Florida game. I'm talking about
Kentucky, maybe?
No, the one that they stole the coach, he went and the quarterback. They had a real good quarterback, too. Kansas State, was it? Is that who they played real close at the start?
And they made a field goal at the end to win it?
Is that was it Kansas State?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, my only thing, Mike, is the trap game possibility. I mean, it's real. You look at last year, even as good as that team was last year, you know, Florida took them to the wire, Kansas State took it to the wire. So there were some of these games that kind of popped up. You know, that's my only concern with Auburn is maybe they get caught looking ahead the following week. So, but it still should be a win. But I think it could be kind of close.
Right. And so, I mean, again, if Mizzou's undefeated going into October 26th at Tuscaloosa, I mean, this could be a program-defining game, Shane. Your opportunity to knock off the mighty Crimson Tide. I believe the last time these two played was the COVID year, right out the gate. And really, people forget this because Alabama beat the hell out of everybody that year, went undefeated, won the national championship. Mizzou gave them one of their toughest games they played.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's got nothing to do with this year. But I'm just trying to give Mizzou credit here. Going in, Alabama. I mean, this could be an elimination game for Alabama because they've already played Georgia. We'll see what happens there. But Mizzou, Alabama, this, I don't know if game of the year, that might be going a step too far, but this is probably the number one game that very, very, very few people have circled as a top three, top five game in the SEC, and I think it will be. So that being said, Shade, all that goodness there, I got to go Alabama. I got to give that one to Alabama because I don't think the Crimson Tide, even if they take a step back, which I think they will, I don't think they're going to be as good under Nick Saban, without Nick Saban. But I don't know. I just feel like Alabama, this is their season on the line here. That I could see Missouri winning it, but I've got to give the edge to Bama here.
Mike, I'm telling you right now, 12-0 is so tough to do. It is. Oh, I mean, it's short of Kirby Smart here, you know, setting the example. It's like it doesn't happen, and the schedules are getting tougher. The teams are getting closer. It's not like we have a huge gap between the three top teams and the rest of the league. It seems like we're all kind of close. In any given Saturday, you can win. Does Mizzou have an opportunity to win this week? Yes. But Mike, when I'm looking at this schedule, they got Oklahoma the following week. I don't know if they can. They can beat Alabama. They can beat Oklahoma. But can they beat both of them? And optimistically, yeah. Why? Because you got the best damn offense in the country, Mike. Going down there to Tuscaloosa, you need a big signature win. This is it. You had an opportunity last year when you went down to Athens. And I'll tell you what, man, they played Georgia tight. But you got to remember, Luther was hurt. The best player, I mean, he was banged up. Say what you want. But when that guy's removed from everybody's coverage, then all of a sudden, you know, they got a little exposed. They weren't ready, and Cook got a little too predictable there. I don't think Alabama is as good as Georgia was last year. And I do think Mizzou will be as good as they were. So, this is a big signature win for them. So give me, what are we at, 6-0, 8-0? Come on now.
Just cruising to 8-0.
Cruising.
Now, again, I don't think that's that wild. I really don't, Shane. If this game was in Columbia, I'd pick Mizzou. But I just think it'll be a little bit tougher. We'll see that. But How about the next one, Shane? Because I think, as mad as some people are for me saying, you know, if they lose to Bama, I think I'll win them back right here. Because this is the game. I think this is going to be the best home game of the season, without a doubt, for Missouri fans.
Yeah.
This is the one they have circled. This is the one they want more, even more than Alabama, truly. If you give them some truth serum, as sweet as it would be to win in Tuscaloosa, I think they wouldn't trade it for an Oklahoma win. So there's a lot of pent-up frustration. You know, they've kind of owned you in another league, but that was a decade plus ago. Mm-hmm. This is a new zoo. Come on down to Columbia, get your ass whooped, and go back to Norman with a frown on your face, because that's what's going to happen when Missouri welcomes Oklahoma. Give me Missouri big over Oklahoma come November 9th.
Oh, brother. And I tell you what, a lot of people have been asking if we're going to attend this game. Out of all of them, the most I hear people asking, are we going to go to the Mizzou-Oklahoma game? And I tell you what, if drink invites us, we may be there, Mike, because I'd love to be in that front row watching Mizzou whoop that ass and officially make this a rivalry. You know, it's all talk. We talk about what they used to be and, you know, what our grandpas thought about these two programs. And this is a new fire that's online that you're seeing between these guys back and forth. We got recruits stealing. We got players stealing. It's nasty. I hope they make a 30 for 30 on this thing, as bad as this rivalry can be. And it officially becomes one if Mizzou curb stomps Oklahoma.
Yeah, but Missouri's going out of their way to make everybody a rival. And I'm here for it. You know?
I love it. This is, you know, it's similar to my volunteers, you know. Nobody likes them. It's just because everybody's an enemy. And that's what I like about these guys. They kind of created that culture as they sat in that locker room together saying, nobody believes in us. They knew they had an 11-win team last year, but nobody besides us said that, you know. And I think that's important because some of that same leadership's coming back this year, and they got even more to prove.
Right. And then so I think the following week, Shane, if they're, you know, on this big winning streak, just whooped at Oklahoma, a little bit of a trap game.
Yeah.
It's on the road. The other Columbia, South Carolina, unfortunately, this is a program that you've absolutely owned under Eli Drinkwitz, and hell, he owned it before he got to Mizzou as well. So, again, I don't think this is a real upset special here, but I don't even need to say it, Shane. We have seen mighty teams go into Columbia, South Carolina and get knocked off. So I'm not completely dismissing this. Hell, I think I'm more scared about this game than I am the Auburn game, truly. But give me Mizzou to get the win. But you better not show up with your C-plus game because you'll get beat here.
Buddy, I tell you what, one of the scariest games on that schedule right there, because if they do make it past Bama and Oklahoma, you know, it's so easy. And we all do it, man. We all do it. We had a couple of good days. I do it, Mike. You know, I have a couple of good days walking, eating healthy, and then I'm like, I can afford a little bite of cake, you know, or a piece of pie, and then next thing you know, I'm up at midnight, you know, at the gas station buying Swiss cake rolls. We can't have that, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Can't take your foot off the gas. You got to just punch them right in the mouth. Thank God these teams also hate each other, so maybe they don't overlook, but it will be a fun game, to say the least.
Right. And then we get at Mississippi State. Again, we don't even know what the hell we're getting out of the Bulldogs this year with all their transition, but I would be absolutely floored if they found a way to knock off Mizzou. So I think this is going to be a pretty easy win for Missouri as well.
Easy win, absolutely.
And then that goes to the season finale where, oh, man, speaking of a rivalry, not a rivalry. I mean, this, I hate it, Shane, because a year ago this was, man, this was back and forth. This was like a blood sport. But Missouri has come so far, and Arkansas seemingly has fallen so far, that I don't even hear from these two anymore, really. I mean, maybe it is a rivalry, just like Arkansas fans say, because they can never win a damn game, and Missouri owns it. So getting it at home, I hope it's a little bit closer, just because we love this Thanksgiving weekend and close football games. Blowouts are, you know, not fun for anybody aside for the team that's whooping that ass. But I feel like another blowout's coming here. Give me Mizzou. I'm going 11-1 optimistically for them Missouri Tigers as they march their way, likely, if they go 11-1, to the SEC championship game and most assuredly to the college football playoff.
Mike, I'm 12-0, baby. 12-0. And like you've told the old Paul Feinbaum, you see them making it to an SEC championship. I, too, see that optimistically. I see them running that schedule. You know, you got to remember, this is not what we think could happen or can happen. This is optimistically thinking what should happen. And, you know, looking at that schedule, they got the easy ride. But you got to capitalize. You can't take your foot off the gas. You can't. Nobody owes you shit. That's what you got to say. And nobody owes you a thing. You go out there, you do it, and Mizzou can win a lot of football games this year.
Well, I didn't think you could possibly top last season's predictions, Shane, but you did. Well, same thing I asked you because, hell, we did another one of these, and you said that team could be undefeated as well.
Yeah.
So I asked you, hell, if this is how it breaks out, if Mizzou goes undefeated in the regular season, what percentage would you give them to win the whole damn thing?
Oh,
because that's on the table if you're going undefeated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Realistically, optimistically, I would say 50%, man. 50%. 12 get in. Got to remember that. But you got to think of teams that we didn't talk about. Texas not on the schedule. Georgia not on the schedule. Ole Miss not on the schedule. Tennessee not on the schedule. You know, how do they fare against these programs? I do think that. I think Mizzou fans would love to make it and be 50%, a 50% shot of making a national championship and winning.
Yeah. I'd sign up for that today. Come on now, 50% shot? Yeah, absolutely. Give it to me.
If you get in 12-0, you know what I'm saying? And what's the beauty of it is you're probably going to get another good game there in the SEC championship. And right. it's going to launch you, you know. I just think that the stars may line up for them boys this year.
And then last thing, most important games for Missouri to win, Shane.
No.
Here's how I have it ranked. I'm curious to see how you got it ranked. But I put Oklahoma number one.
Absolutely.
Far and away to me. I think that'll be the most critical, even if they beat Alabama. But most to me, because I think they'll fall to Alabama. So it's you got to avoid that two-game losing streak.
Yeah.
This is where I'll be interested to see where you go too. Is it Alabama number two, or is it – I put A&M, Shane.
Yeah.
Because I think if you beat A&M on the road, you start to believe that you can beat anybody.
Yeah, great minds think alike, Mike. That's exactly where I would go. Texas A&M, you drop that one, and then the doubt – you know, there they start coming. This ain't
– right.
They were a one-hit wonder. I could hear it already, you know. They got all them bookmarks saved. So you got to have that one, brother. Pick up that momentum. I think the third one is going to be Bama, but it's not a must win if you beat A&M and Oklahoma.
Exactly. I mean, that's, again, we don't want to sit here and say, you know, feel great about a loss or anything like that. But if you lose at Alabama, it doesn't eliminate you from anything. Right. Not that losing A&M would or Oklahoma would as long as you win the others, but it seems unrealistic to me that you're going to lose at A&M, then you're going to turn around a couple weeks later and beat Alabama on the road. So that's kind of why I have it broken down that way.
Yeah, I like it, man. Aren't you getting pumped up, man? Just looking at these games, you know? It's like we're not too far away, man.
Right. So another fall camp preview in the books. Shane, I appreciate you. But again, I think Missouri fans are going to appreciate you even more than I do with this undefeated season, 50% shot national championship. Anything else you want to throw on here before we call it a show?
You know what? I just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Because, you know, it's easy to get to a point where you're just – you remember it wasn't too long ago you were just praying for a bowl game, you know? And then now you're here. We're not promised these seasons for long. So you gotta strike it while it's hot. So you're there, buddy. You're there. Keep swinging.
12-0, they got to have a Heisman winner too, though, right?
Oh,
I thought that's where you were going next.
Well, if I were picking a Heisman, it's quarterback. I think Brady, because arm, leg, he has it all. Nothing against Luther. I mean, it's been a while since. I mean, who was it down in Alabama? He was a
Devonta Smith.
Yeah, Devonta Smith. You know, he was able to get the Heisman. I don't know if that can happen again, but if it could, Luther's obviously the perfect person to get it because he does it all. He is a Swiss Army knife. Like, you made a joke about running back. By God, don't be surprised if he don't have a couple of 100-yard rushing games, you know. So, yeah, I think they're if they make it to that – if they go undefeated and they make the college football playoffs, the Heisman candidate will be on this roster somewhere.
Right, and it'll be Luther Burden, mark my words. So, at least we disagree on that one. But, hey, that's all I got on this episode. If you made it this far, please like, subscribe, share the video. And we got more SEC fall camp previews coming your way. I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys.
M-I-Z! Z-O-U!
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.